King David. We've seen David as the young shepherd, the most unlikely character to be anointed by Samuel as the next king of Israel, as the victor over the giant Goliath, acclaimed by the people as a mighty warrior, but in fear of his life due to the jealousy and rage of King Saul. Befriended by Jonathan, Saul's son, but having to flee for his life, spending many years on the run, being hunted down in the wilderness as he went from place to place with his small band of loyal followers in many situations of danger and peril. And then in the last few weeks, we have seen him become king of Judah on the death of Saul, fighting more battles, and then eventually being anointed king of the remaining 11 tribes and establishing his capital city in Jerusalem. He united the tribes of Israel and established his kingdom, and under his leadership, they conquered their enemies. The nation became rich and prosperous, and he was a courageous leader and a wise king. But as we saw last week, he also committed terrible sins, but came to God with great sorrow and repentance, and found the great mercy and forgiveness of God. He lived a turbulent life in turbulent times. Sometimes I think we look around us and wonder if the world has ever been in such a troubled and difficult situation. Well, yes, it has. Eugene Peterson speaks about how the conditions out of which David's life is lived and narrated are made up in large part of Philistine culture and Canaanite morality, that is, violence and sex. Archaeologists have dug up Philistine mugs and Canaanite fertility goddesses that symbolize the two prevailing cultures of the times. Eugene Peterson says, "I can't imagine a more uncongenial time or more unlikely conditions for living a convincingly articulated life to the glory of God." He says, and yet here it is, David, born, living, and dying in Iron Age violence and sex, not exempt from their influence, but not confined to them either, in quite incredible ways transcending them, so that it's possible and common for us to read the story and hardly notice the conditions. But we must notice, for we live under conditions that are equally and similarly unfavorable. The cultural embodiments of violence and sex, war and promiscuity don't seem to have changed that much. And because they're human conditions, they're the only conditions in which a holy life can be lived. We've been looking at the past few weeks at the story of David from the outside, looking at the facts of his life. But in the Bible, we find the same story from the inside. When we turn to the book of Psalms, we find David's thoughts, David's feelings, and most importantly, David's prayers in the situations in which he found himself. Mostly, when we read about characters in Scripture, we need to imagine their thoughts and feelings. But with David, we find them written down. And we find that while he repeatedly faced loss, disappointment, and even death, he didn't avoid or deny or soft pedal any of these difficulties. He faced everything and he prayed everything. He told God when he was disappointed in him. He told him about the times when he felt lost and abandoned, the times when he didn't know what to do or where to turn for help. He asked God for what he needed. He asked boldly and eloquently for help, for refuge, for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, for forgiveness, for mercy, for the Holy Spirit. And perhaps most of all, he praised God. Sometimes we struggle to find words to praise, but the Psalms give us amazing, eloquent, towering words of praise, many of which came from David. But his praise and worship of God came out of his life of turbulence and turmoil, of wars and loss and trouble. The David story teaches us that we deal with God in the midst of messed up human life. It teaches us that against the background of difficult circumstances, of events and people, we can deal with God. It teaches us that God is always present even in the mess, that God always wants to hear from us and to have us draw near to him, always wants us to have that close relationship of trust and faith, no matter what is going on in our lives or around us. Eugene Peterson says, David deals with God. As an instance of humanity in himself, he isn't much. He has little wisdom to pass on to us on how to live successfully. He was an unfortunate parent and an unfaithful husband. From a purely historical point of view, he was a barbaric chieftain with a talent for poetry. But David's importance isn't in his morality or his military prowess, but in his experience of and witness to God. Every event in his life was a confrontation with God. And that's what makes the Psalms so wonderful, because they come, many of them, out of places of trouble and distress. 70% of the Psalms are laments, and many of them originate in or derive from the praying life of David. All the emotions of life are there. There's no attempt to hide the feelings of distress. If we ever wondered whether it was okay to tell God about our deepest feelings, about our disappointments and our sorrows, our griefs and our fears, we need only to turn to the Psalms and find words that speak deep into our hearts, words that can help us to express what we want to say to God when our own words are hard to find. And we find too that God knows us better than we know ourselves, that when we turn to him in our troubles, he already knows everything, and he is with us wherever we may go. Psalm 139, one of the Psalms attributed to David, says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. So let's pause. The best loved and most famous of David's Psalms is, of course, Psalm 23. Alistair said a few weeks ago that he wondered if David might have written this at a time when he was a young shepherd. I'm not sure. We don't know, and certainly some of the imagery must have come from his experiences as a shepherd. But he also speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of death and of knowing the presence of his enemies. And these verses would seem to indicate that they were written later, perhaps at the time when he was on the run from Saul. It's a psalm of great confidence and trust. It speaks of God as the caring shepherd, living with his sheep, protecting them from danger and leading them to places of nurture and quietness. And it also speaks of God as a gracious host, preparing a table of plenty for us. The psalm is full of pictures of what the blessings of God are like, that he makes us lie down in green pastures, that he leads us beside quiet waters, restores our souls, and guides us in paths of righteousness. He anoints our head with oil and our cup overflows. But these blessings come even through the valley of the shadow of death, even in the presence of our enemies. David knew and celebrated the presence, protection, and care of God, even in the hardest times of his life. Even in the midst of such a turbulent and troubled life, he could say the amazing words that speak into all our lives: surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God to David wasn't something remote and abstract, not someone up there, as you often hear people say, not a doctrine to be talked about. For David, God was a person who led him and cared for him, an intimate presence who was there through every single detail of his daily life, the one on whom he relied at every moment, the one to whom he turned in every situation. Psalm 59 describes the time when Saul had sent men to David's house to kill him. David says, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloodthirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, O Lord. Arise to help me. Look on my plight." But then he says this: "O my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." In this situation of great danger, as in so many others, David had no help but God. But he trusted that God cared for him and was sufficient to protect him and save him. In Psalm 57, we find a description of David having fled from Saul into a cave. "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. This psalm, like so many others, is a mixture of lament and praise. David telling God just what a hard time he's having, what a difficult situation he's in, praying that God would save him and deliver him, and praise, thanking God for his faithfulness and love, for his power and his saving grace. I really love the Psalms, and I use verses from them a lot. But it's really significant how many of the verses that we love and that are a comfort to us come in the middle of a psalm that is about real fear and distress. David says, "I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress." But the very next verse says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." There's such a reality to David, isn't there? This is real life. His life was very different from ours, lived in a very different time. But all life, regardless of time or circumstances, is basically the same. Everyone has struggles. Everyone has hard times. We all have situations where we don't know where to turn for help, when it seems as though everything has come crashing down around us. David is a role model for us. He shows us his relationship with God and encourages us to know God as he did. Sometimes it feels a little as though his praise is coming through gritted teeth. And isn't that familiar to us as well? Psalm 13 says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Do we sometimes want to ask God what he's up to and why he's not immediately sorting out all the stuff that we think needs sorting out? Here's David doing just that, questioning what God is up to. And I think that's really helpful for us, as though it gives us permission to suggest that it would be good if God would answer our prayers a bit more quickly. But the psalm ends with the words, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." And I wonder if that verse came a little through gritted teeth. If it was David kind of hanging on to his trust in God by his fingernails. There's no suggestion in the psalm that anything had been resolved, that David had got out of whatever terrible situation he was in. And yet, in the middle of it, David could still say, "I know you love me, I know you've saved me, and I know you've been good to me." In Psalm 18, when God had delivered him from the hand of his enemies, he describes God as his strength, his rock, his fortress and deliverer, his refuge, his shield, the horn of his salvation and his stronghold. And he said, "I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Trust in God to save him. Trust in the power of God to lead and guide him and to protect him. And as we saw last week when we looked at the sinfulness of David with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah, trust in the grace and mercy of God to forgive sin. Even after such terrible sin, he could write Psalm 32, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and who, in whose spirit there is no deceit." God said of David, "He is a man after my own heart." I think when you read his story in the books of Samuel, you would wonder why. He certainly didn't get everything right. He failed in lots of ways. But when we read the Psalms, we see his heart, a heart that loved God and trusted God, even in the hard and dangerous circumstances in which he lived. Where are we today? What are our circumstances? Are we finding life hard, wondering what God is doing, feeling fear, disappointment, loss, not knowing what to do or how we're going to cope? May David be an encouragement to us to trust God in the midst of it all. And may we find his words in the Psalms a source of strength and hope, as we read there of the one who is all-powerful and all-merciful, our great God who saves us. Amen. We're going to sing